Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Modern Talking. Just Different, a very special podcast with Tomas Andas. Modern Talking.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a Sunday, and as I used to say, today it's again the same feeling. Sunday is the fun day, right, Tomas?
Hello, Marcus. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to your own podcast, which is kind of weird that I say that, but we're going to talk today about what happened last week or a little bit more, 10 days you were in the U.S., right?
Exactly. I had a U.S. tour. Stay was 2 weeks, and I had 8 shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy, and I feel very honored that I had a sold out tour.
Oh,
that was really great, and I appreciate it definitely.
Before we go into detail, there is a question this time, and it comes from Azerbaijan, and it's Kirill, and he is actually asking about your solo records. And he found out, which I did find out recently myself, that you did really work with the producer of Elton John. And he's asking if you, by any chance, got the chance through this producer, Gus Dudgeon, that's his name, right?
Right.
To meet Elton John.
First of all, it's very funny that you picked a question from somebody from Azerbaijan.
Okay.
Because the upcoming week I will have, I will be in a show in Baku.
And
it's the capital city. And so it's funny. But yes, I did an album with Gus Dudgeon several years ago. And I know that he was the producer of a lot of Elton John's albums, but I never met him. I never met Elton John. Gus Dudgeon, he was a great guy, and unfortunately, I have to say he was, because he died by a car accident.
Okay.
Because I stayed with him for 2 weeks in the south of England, and while we were driving, really. I was nearly going to get a heart attack because he was driving, first of all, too fast. And then he was talking to you. And then while he was talking, he was looking to you. And, I was looking on the street because I couldn't concentrate, because I thought this is my last minute. And unfortunately, he really, had some years later this car accident and died of this.
Okay.
Yes, but it was a great time.
Yeah. Was working with him special? I mean, he was this special kind of producer, right?
He was really, updated. But his way of producing was very special. Even the location was special, because it was one of these, it was a little castle. And it's British South England mentions from Alan Parsons.
Okay.
But he didn't live there anymore, because he bought some miles away another mansion. But he had his studio in this house. So the only people who stayed there were Gus and me. And the place had round about, I would say, 30, 35 rooms.
Wow.
I can't check this. I don't remember it so clearly, but I would say I was in the left wing and Gus was in the right wing, and we saw each other, for breakfast in the morning, because there were some employees coming in and did breakfast and taking care about, our rooms. And then he went to bed.
Okay.
And he started working at 8 o'clock in the evening.
In the evening, okay.
After we had our usual dinner, and in this little small village or whatever it was, I don't remember the name, there was only one restaurant, there was only one pub, and this pub was called King George.
Okay.
And as far as I remember, the food was so terrible that...
as they say about English food, or as they used to say, it got better. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm sorry.
So the only thing I'd love to eat was coq au vin.
Okay.
So I stayed there for 2 weeks, and for one day in a week, King George was closed. And then we went to the next biggest city, and we went to an Indian restaurant.
Okay.
So I had in this 2 weeks, I had 12 times coq au vin. And on two evenings, I had my Indian food, which I like, by the way. I like it when it's very spicy. But this was my, these are my memories about, this. And then we came to the studio at 8 in the evening, p.m.
Yeah.
And then he starts working. But my part was the earliest at 3 o'clock a.m.
Oh.
So I was completely destroyed because it was so hard for me. Even the voice is sleeping, I had to,
okay,
to get me, to help my voice, just that the voice can be there. Normally, the voice is sleeping at this time.
Okay. But there also were musicians involved during this recording sessions, right? So that's the reason why you started so late when he started at 8 o'clock.
There was only a technician.
Okay.
And the music was, there were only some instruments like keyboard and drum programming. This was recorded, and the rest came, after my vocals. So I didn't met any, we were alone in this place.
Okay.
And in the evening, the technician came, was responsible for this. And he left, the place at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m. I went to bed after 2 or 3 hours. And then we saw Gus and me, we saw each other for breakfast at 12, 1 p.m. or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Strange.
But one has, I think that you hear a lot of stories about musicians only recording during the night. I just heard an interview with Barry Gibb, who said that Barbara Streisand also, she doesn't start recording before 2 o'clock in the night. That's
really?
Her rule. That's her rule. Because he was talking about the recording with her, the record that he did, Guilty, with her. And she always only started at 2 o'clock. And he's like you. He said, I'm a day person. I'm not a night person. But he had to. I mean, if you produce Barbara Streisand, you do that. Okay.
Oh, my God. And because the voice is tired.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that if you're used to it, the voice is used to it. But I don't
sure.
know. Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. By any
so
chance,
that means to put it on the point, that means to me it will never happen. I will never have a duet with Barbara Streisand in my life.
Well, I could see you doing it just because it's Barbara.
But maybe we can talk about this. She is starting at 10, in the evening. 10, we make a compromise. Maybe I could discuss this with her.
Yeah, but the interview with Barry Gibb, he said, this lady is not about compromise. She's definitely not about compromise. She's about telling things as they are. Point.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once she said, because she was arguing and she didn't accept, and she was asked why she's so strict, and her answer was, it comes naturally. Okay.
There's this little fact, this little story that I have to tell. Do you know why Gus Dudgeon produced Elton John?
Why he did this?
Because he did the record Space Oddity with David Bowie. And Elton John, in the beginning, was such a big fan of this recording that he said, I have to get this guy. And his Rocket Man is actually nothing else than just a rewrite of Space Oddity.
Space Oddity, okay.
And that's the reason why he chose Gus Dudgeon for his producer. Well, anyways, little fact of little interest.
Thank you for this little history input.
Yeah, right. So now let's go get a deep dive into your U.S. tour. You said it was sold out. Where did you play in these 10 days?
I had 8 shows, and we started in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the next show was in New Jersey, just on the suburbs of New York City. And third was New York City, then Boston. Then we had Houston, San Jose, California, and 2 shows in Los Angeles.
Okay. And the Los Angeles shows, as much as I learned, were the biggest shows, right?
Yes. These are the open air. This is the Starlight Bowl. So okay. I had my 8th show at the Starlight Bowl, and all of them were sold out.
Wow.
So the capacity is around about 5,000 per show. And it was really great. I loved it because in the end, it's a bit different, you know, to sing under the stars, you know, when in warm summer wind and the people are, the people are more into this, you know, relaxed mood or whatever.
Yeah. Is LA, last time I've been in LA, that's, you know, I can't even remember because it was like in the 80s or something. Is it still what I heard of, from friends? Is it still this crazy city, where everybody has a yoga teacher, everybody is into meditation? And do you feel it in LA, that kind of vibe there?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, you know, I lived there in the early 90s.
Okay, yeah.
I would say it changed.
Okay.
It changed a bit. On different levels. You know, for sure, you have your private coach and you have your, you know, like you said, yoga teacher, and you're doing your special food menus and stuff like this. But you see that a lot of the new media, social media people are just went out. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the place like Beverly Hills or Bel Air. You know, these were the area where you have to buy houses or you have to buy a house or whatever. And but this is more the old money nowadays.
Yeah.
And if you see, you know, all the younger stars, you know, like the Kardashians or whatever, mm-hmm. they live in Calabasas.
Okay.
So this is more or less 45 to 60 minutes in the north from Beverly Hills, you know, from This is what we call Los Angeles. Los Angeles is so big.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievable big. You know, that you're driving for, I don't know, 70 miles or whatever through the city. You're in the city all the time. This is quite normal for the Americans, but not for maybe some people from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And what I heard, so I haven't proved it, but what I heard is that a lot of film industry is going away.
Okay.
Because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
A lot of films shooting is in Canada.
Okay.
Or they're doing some shootings in London.
Yes.
Because it's cheaper producing it there as in the studios in Los Angeles. Yeah. And so that means this is not the place where all the artists and, you know, actors sitting together because they are, you know, they are sparkled all over the world.
Okay. Okay. So, the American tour, we did this before, we talked before about this, that this is kind of special for you, which I totally understand because it's the birthland of, entertainment for me. Is it any different? Because you just went on tour here in Germany for quite a long time. It's just a couple of months ago. And now you have the comparison with the American tour. Is it different? Is it more professional over there?
No.
Okay.
No. It's you know, from the people's side, from you know, from the audience, mm-hmm. it's completely the same.
Okay.
There's no difference. But sometimes it shocked me that the equipment in some cities where I've been was, you know, worse than I would say in East European countries.
Okay.
And this is, and you know, even my technicians told me this because they said, you know, when you compare it with, for example, with Germany,
yeah,
when you have to you know, build up your PA and your equipment,
mm-hmm.
then you have your cables and stuff like this, and when a cable is broken, you take a new one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the technicians work sometimes with cables which were 15, 18 years old.
Wow.
But this is, you know, it's very hard for me to say, but there's a kind snobby from the American people that they think they invented entertainment and that they are the best.
Yeah.
And they don't overlook, you know, the ocean, what's going on the other side of the world,
mm-hmm.
and that the equipments are, well, from time to time, much, much better than in the States.
Okay.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah, it surprises me because I always thought that the level up there is over there is much higher than here in Europe. But what you say is the total. It's totally different what you're saying about the situation there.
Yes, exactly. It just I don't understand it, but mm-hmm. That's the fact.
Okay. So, American fans, as you said, they're totally the same like here in Europe. But this time you had a new program that you were presenting over there, right?
No, it's not specially made for America. It's the program I'm, you know, touring now for the next, I will say, 2 years.
Okay.
And there's some slightly changes in it because, you know, this was a big show from 100, 105 minutes.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I'm doing festivals, the program is only 45 or 60 minutes. Then I have to, you know, take songs out. Or when I'm, you know, doing my shows in Germany, I need some German songs in it, and I take some English speaking songs out.
Okay.
But the concept, and I would say the red line of the program, is now fixed for the next 2 years. And then in between, I'm changing songs.
Okay.
But for America now, this was for me the point that I said, okay, I want to create a new program. And I changed 7 songs, I guess, yes.
Okay. But you also have, which surprised me, even though you're flying across the ocean, you also have a real life band. It's a guitar player, it's a bass player, it's a keyboard player and a drummer, right?
And I had one backing singer.
Right, yeah. Isn't that, I mean, do people, that, I know that like 20 years ago, it was really a thing to talk about when people were touring with real life bands. You're always touring with a live band?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's sometimes some exceptions, but very, very rare. Mm-hmm. You can say in 99% I'm going with my live band.
Okay. Okay. Is it more fun than, you know, just singing to tapes?
It's a different attitude.
Okay.
You know, when you're on stage and you can really work with your musicians, that's different than, you know, standing alone on a stage. This, for me, it looks always a bit poor.
Okay.
When you're on stage and you know, when you have, you can get your kicks, side kicks with a drummer, and it's more intense when you're going with a live band.
Okay. I mean, I'm totally open to this because I think all this tape singing is, well, anyways, you're doing that thing and I love that. So what are the next projects?
So I'm going now to Romania, mm-hmm. and then I have after this, the days after this, I have 2 shows in Germany.
Okay.
And then, like I told you, I'm in Baku.
Okay. Hi, Kirill.
Yes. And on the 17th of September, I have my International Fan Day. You know, finally, you know, after, you know, the pandemic, I can really work this out. Maybe you have the chance to come there.
Okay. We have to talk about this. But this time is running out. So next time definitely going to talk about this International Fan Day. I'm a big fan of this because this is also real. You know, real people meet real people. That's I love this. So Thomas, I wish you all the best. Get over the jet lag.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was this morning, my family, that means Alexander and Claudia, all of a sudden it was 5:40 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden we all were sitting in the kitchen and talking and couldn't sleep anymore. But I had to go to bed then because, you know, I'm heading from a trip to Romania and I had to be, you know,
fresh for
that. I haven't fresh and I have no chance.
Yeah. Okay. So
thank you.
Take care of yourself. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about your International Fan Day, right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Take care, Marcus.
Bye-bye.
Modern Talking, just different. Now on all platforms, the new podcast with Thomas Anders.
Modern Talking.
Subscribe now, the new podcast with Thomas Anders.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.